New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Bible believers, we're continuing with this broadcast on the subject that we introduced last week. A passage from that powerful second chapter of the book of Matthew in the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, where the wise men said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" When I saw this powerful passage, I thought there has to be a real message here. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Last week we were introduced to those wise men and how that they followed that star. And our first point was, where is he that is born King of the Jews in your willingness to follow? In the second chapter of the book of Matthew and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." The question we're dealing with is asking this question to every one of you that are listening today. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? The he here is the only begotten virgin born Son of the living God. The he here is the name which is above every name. The he that is mentioned here is Jesus Christ, and in him resides all authority. Prior to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the Bible says in verse 18, as Jesus spoke, he said these words, "All authority," that word means power, "all authority or power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power resides in Christ. And where is he that is all powerful in your life? Where is he that is all authoritative in your life? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? As we follow this interesting account, they came to Herod, and the question was asked, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And when Herod heard about a king, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was a wicked king. He would bring mayhem not only to the people around about him, but also to the Holy Family if he could locate them. And in his treachery, being a part of the Edomite pagan family of the Herods, one of the most wicked families in the Bible, he facetiously and hypocritically asked the wise men to bring back words as to where Jesus was so that he could come and worship him. But his desire was only to kill him. And so they followed the star and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And last week we asked the question, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews in your willingness to follow?" Will you follow the star if it leads you across different areas? If the star leads you down the road of different doctrines, will you follow the star, or will you follow the star of tradition? Will you follow the star of your parents? Will you follow the star of what you've read in some church manual? Will you follow the star exactly as that star leads? Will you follow the teachings faithfully of the Word of God? I'm thankful for these wise men. Possibly they were taught by Daniel. Daniel was a captive, the innocent suffer with the guilty, and no doubt, having been put in charge of the wise men, he told all the people in that part of the east all he knew about the new king that was to come. And here they came looking for Jesus and asking the question, "Where is he?" And the question is, where is he in your willingness to follow? Will you follow him down the road of faith in Christ? Will you follow him down the road of repentance and confession? Will you follow him out into the waters of baptism to be immersed, to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus? The Bible says in Acts 22:16, as the Holy Spirit was speaking to Saul of Tarsus, that we know as Paul, after he had spent 3 days blind and repenting and praying, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." There are many people that will follow the star until it comes to the water, and then they refuse to be immersed for the remission of sins. They don't see any sense in the water. They say, "What does the water have to do with it?" Do you remember Naaman the leper in the Old Testament? He said the same thing. He was told to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. We're only told to dip once. But he was told to dip 7 times. It got him so upset, he started in anger back home. And one of his servants talked him into going back. And when he came up the 7th time, after he had dipped himself in the Jordan, his leprosy was gone and his skin was like that of a little babe. My friends, your sins will be washed away when you go down into the watery grave of Christian baptism. The blood of Jesus takes away your sins. You're saved not saving yourself, but you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word. When you repent of your sins and go down into the waters of Christian immersion, you're symbolizing the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. You recognize you're dead in sin. You're buried in baptism. You arise to walk in newness of life. Will you follow Jesus? Will you follow the star down into the water? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Will you follow him in faith and repentance and confession and baptism? And will you follow him in the Christian life? I'm thankful for these wise men that made such a sacrifice to follow Jesus. And where is he that is born King of the Jews in your willingness to follow? Then, as we look into verse 2, when they were come into the house, it's interesting that the wise men never came to the manger. That was in the past. Now it's sometime down the line. There's been much discussion as to how much later this was, but evidently sometime later they had moved into a house. And the Bible teaches that the wise men never came to the manger. They came to the house where the Holy Family was. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." It's interesting to me that the wise men followed the star. And as they faithfully followed the star, they never took shortcuts. They never entered their own directions into the route. They simply followed the route that God had set before them. You must be willing to follow the route in spite of whether or not it goes against tradition. But then, when they found Jesus, they fell down and worshipped him. They fell down in praise and adoration. Those strangers, those magi, those magicians from the east, after all of that trip, they found him and they fell down before him and worshipped him. We come back to that question again. Where is he that is born King of the Jews in your worship? We've asked you the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews in your willingness to follow? Now, as we see the wise men prostrate on their faces before Christ, before him, worshiping him, it brings out the absolute glory and essentiality of praising and worshiping the Lord. Blessings come to the ones that worship the Lord. And the question is, where is he that is born King of the Jews in your worship? How long has it been since you fell on your face before the stranger of Galilee? How long has it been since you fell on your face in privacy out in a woods somewhere, down flat of your face praising Almighty God? The wise men followed the star, and then they fell down and worshipped him. Have you fallen on your knees to worship him? How long has it been in the privacy of your home or in the privacy of some sanctified place? How long has it been since you fell to your knees before him? Or since you looked up and praised his wonderful holy name with tears in your eyes? Where is he that is born King of the Jews in your worship? Worship can be praised. Worship can be sacrificed. Worship can be obedience. Worship can be following the plan of salvation. Worship can be coming around the Lord's table every Lord's day like they did in biblical days. Worship could be giving up denominational names and simply taking upon you the name of Christ and Christianity. I'm thankful that the Bible says the churches of Christ salute you. And if they were called churches of Christ in Bible days, it's good enough today for us to call the churches churches of Christ. But people are ashamed of the Church of Christ today. They're ashamed of the stigma with the Church of Christ. They're ashamed to be associated with one Lord and one faith and one baptism. They're ashamed to be associated with controversy. But my friends, I've put my money on the Church of Christ and taking the Bible only and being a Christian only. The Bible says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11:26. The Bible says, as we go back to the 26th chapter of the book of Acts in verse 28, Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." In 1 Peter 4:16, Peter said, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." And as I think about that wonderful name, I love to worship that name. I love to worship the Savior behind that name. And the wise men followed the star. Where is he in your willingness to follow? They fell down and worshiped him. Where is he in your willingness to worship? On the first day of the week, do you worship him by coming around the Lord's table? Oh, you can raise your hands and sing songs and repeat the same thing for 20 times. But let's go back to the Bible. On the first day of the week, they didn't come together to sing. It doesn't even say they came together for a praise service. It's wonderful to praise and it's wonderful to sing. But they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And our call is to bring people to this position. Not to be converted by the world, but to convert the world. And so where is he in your willingness? Where is he that is born King of the Jews in your worship? Will you worship him? Then, as we look at the next item here in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2, listen to what the scripture says. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those wise men had no doubt spent a small fortune in coming from the far east in order to worship the Lord. It cost them money in inns. It cost them money for food. It cost them a lot of money to make this trip. And they never said, "That's my contribution." When they found Jesus following the star, they worshiped him, and then they opened up their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they heaped treasures on Jesus. They gave generously. The question is now, where is he that is born King of the Jews in your stewardship? Are you giving of your gold to Jesus? Are you giving of your precious commodities to Jesus? Are you giving your frankincense and myrrh? Are they equivalent to Jesus? Or do you try to skin flint and stingy away from giving your just tithes and offerings to Almighty God? The Bible teaches if you sow little, you're going to reap little. The Bible teaches that we're not to be sparing in our giving. Someone says, "Give a little offering." Why give a little offering? Give a generous offering. Give a big offering. The wise men gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the question is, are you chasing Jesus? Or are you giving him of your gold and your frankincense and your myrrh? No, Jesus doesn't need your gold, but you need to give him your gold. Jesus doesn't need your frankincense and myrrh. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but you need to give him your frankincense and myrrh. You need to be generous in your stewardship. And the question is, where is he that is born King of the Jews in your stewardship? Down through the years, we've met people that were stingy, and they weren't blessed because of their stinginess. They sat on their pocketbooks, and they kept their money, and as a result, they weren't blessed. But then, I've known people that seemingly, according to many, couldn't afford to give what they gave. But they gave of their tithes and offerings anyway. Someone said, "I can't afford to tithe." Another one said, "I can't afford not to." My friends, 9/10 plus the Lord's blessings will go much farther than the whole 10/10 without the Lord's blessings. And so the question is, where is he that is born King of the Jews in your stewardship? And so we've dealt with 3 out of 4 points on this sermon, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And next week we'll finish up this message from the 2nd chapter of the book of Matthew. But as we go off of the air, we say again, according to Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. Take no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. Repent and be baptized today. Be faithful to the Lord's table, back to the Bible, back to righteousness, back to following the star. Let's close with prayer. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, for the gospel, for the plan of salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the word. And I pray that people will respond in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more heaven-high, hell-deep, and worldwide shotgun barrel straight preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.